In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. If you were around here last weekend, then you have some sense of where we left off looking at the scripture. You have some sense that we were created in the image of God. You have some sense that by virtue of the way we were created, there is a measure of power we possess as human beings, as creatures who were created by God. And you have some sense that with that power comes some responsibility. And that responsibility isn't a list of things to do, but rather a tug, a pull toward becoming the people we were made to be. Love incarnate. People who embody love in the world. People who bring love to the table each time that we come to it. That's not all. We also have some sense that by virtue of the way we were created, we are in partnership with the divine in the world, that we are not just uniquely and lovingly and carefully created, but we are also yoked with God. As Jesus said, whatever we bind here on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose here on earth will be loosed in heaven. Our work is God's work, and God's work is our work. That's our work as people of faith individually, and that's our work as a church corporately. And we heard that beautiful story from Exodus about how to eat the Passover meal, and we translate that to our orientation to the world, how we could live, shoes tied, backpack packed, ready to deploy, ready to deliver love to those parts of the world, locally and afar, that seem absent or in need of love. That's where we left off last week with this cosmology, this theory about the universe and our place in it. We walk away from the theory piece with a sense of I am, you are enough, and we together can do more. Pretty special. It's all there in this anthology of stories we call the Bible, and one of my favorite things about this anthology we call the Bible is that it doesn't stop with theory. It's a book full of both theory and practice and more, but we don't have to get to the more this week. It's this anthology of theory and practice. So while it does engage the mind, it also engages the heart, the hands, the back, if we allow it to penetrate in that way, to that depth in our lives. And this week, with these readings we have from the lectionary, from this anthology of stories we have called the Bible, this week we have practice, where last week we had theory. The practice comes in the form of a story of an encounter between Peter and Jesus. That's not all. Another dose of practice comes from Paul to the Romans too, but let's look at Peter and Jesus. We know Peter's been the recipient of the theory. He has some sense of you are enough and we can do more. And in an attempt to put into practice, put that theory into practice, he comes to Jesus with a question. If we were reading Peter's question out of context, if we didn't have a sense of the theory behind it, it would seem random. But we have a sense that Peter is trying to take this theory that Jesus has delivered and put it into practice, and he starts with forgiveness. The scripture reads, Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? Seven times? Now, in light of the theory, what a great place to start. We can imagine the wheels turning in Peter's brain. Okay, I'm supposed to love on people. I'm built to deliver love. I'm a partner with the Creator. What's that work gonna look like? Where will I struggle? And he gets right to it, right? What about people who are just impossible, Jesus? What about the folks I've tried to love over and over again who seem so incredibly consistent in their inability to respond with love themselves? What about those people? What do I do about that, Jesus? I mean, I've forgiven that guy 6 times, but who's counting? What about Judas? He seems so abrasive. What about Thomas? He seems so fickle and weak. And then Jesus responds, right? The story reads, Jesus said to him, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. We could hear Jesus' response in this way, Peter, you are enough, and we can do more. When we get to that place where the rubber meets the road in this life of love, forgiveness is of paramount importance, Peter. Peter, you can't skip forgiveness. You can't skip forgiveness and move on to another part because love work is relational. And if you can't find a way to reconcile, then you can't be in relationship. And if you can't be in relationship, then you can't love fully. Pretty heavy duty practical advice. Pretty heavy duty. If you were around here on Tuesday night, you got more than a glimpse of that in listening to Father Ubald's story. He would say forgiveness is the secret to peace and that extreme horror requires extreme forgiveness. His work reconciling Hutus and Tutsis who were murderers or murdered during the Rwandan genocide is remarkable. He has an ongoing relationship with the man who murdered his mother. His ongoing care for that man's children is remarkable. He is scholarshipping that man's daughter through medical school. Now that man has been released from prison, they travel the country together, leading reconciliation retreats. What an incredibly practical example. You want to know what forgiveness looks like? I can tell you what it looks like in Rwanda. It looks like a priest writing a check to medical school for a tuition payment for the daughter of a man who killed his mother. That's exactly what reconciliation looks like in Rwanda. It's just what reconciliation looks like there. And to be sure, it's an extreme example. Father Ubald would be the first to tell you that. But it is nevertheless an example. It is real. I think sometimes because we know forgiveness is hard, we can find our way around to the opinion that it's an option. And I guess it is an option in light of the fact that we live under grace, that there's nothing you and I can do to separate ourselves from the love of God. But it's not optional. if you and I want to continue to grow into what the full stature of Christ is. It's not optional if you and I want to continue to deepen our faith. It's not optional if you and I have the desire to become love incarnate, to become the people we were made to be. If we want to love fully. This exchange between Jesus and Peter is so demonstrative of its paramount importance in the life of the beloved, Peter. How many times? Seven? Jesus. No. 77. And so we work to align ourselves in such a way. Word to the wise, though. The work is hard. Forgiveness requires a tremendous amount of vulnerability and self-awareness. As we continue to deepen this work in our lives or pick it up again, I think it's important to be prudent. If there's that person out there, that one who comes to mind immediately, especially if he or she is one you've tried to reconcile with in the past in one way or another, if there's that person out there, that one who comes to mind immediately, I would encourage you to begin this work or begin it again with someone else. Start someplace where you might have some easier success in the work. Start with the tourist who pulls out in front of you with no blinker. Start with that person before you move on to brother or mother or father or son or daughter or business partner or estranged, dear, old friend. The thing is, as with all things in this love work, is that we have time here. The work is strangely both urgent and slow. It always will be. It's urgent that we get started in that work, but that work is slow when we take it upon ourselves to practice it. So start today or tomorrow or next week or next month, but don't fail to start. It's of paramount importance to remember that you are beloved, that you are enough, and to be propelled by the mission, the cause, which is love. We can do more. Anything less than forgiveness is Jesus adjacent. Jesus adjacent is fine, but it's not our target. It's not our highest and best. Our highest and best is love incarnate. And in this part of the anthology, love incarnate begins with forgiveness. Amen.